Unfortunately, I believe it is, and that's exactly what we're seeing. There was a UN peacekeeping force in Darfur for many years up until late 2020, and that had a profound dampening effect on these sort of ethnically based violent acts, and that really helped turn the situation around there, where Darfur region was able to rebuild. And with the withdrawal of the UN, with the collapse of government in Sudan, and with fewer reporters able to travel, it's really become open season on the civilian communities there in Darfur. And so we've seen a resumption of the ethnic cleansing on the part of Arab militias who are wantonly using violence and including murder to intimidate local populations. There's widespread looting. And really, the aim seems to be to drive these African communities, mostly the Masalit people, off their land, which these are diverse Arab groups would be able to claim for themselves.
With the international and regional focus on the Niger crisis, do you foresee any possibility of a negotiated or mediated closure to the conflict in Sudan?
I do. There are still enough people focused on Sudan and many strong interests within the region internationally to see this stabilized. And the most realistic option for stabilization is if we saw a restoration of the civilian transitional government, and they would then be able to generate some sort of popular legitimacy and support that could help bring the country back together. They would also have international legitimacy and support, which would be so badly needed to rebuild Sudan, and they would have credibility for trying to establish credible institutions that would actually provide services and benefit the general population. In practical terms, this would likely require some sort of UN force to support civilian government and to serve as a trust-building mechanism between the two rival Sudanese military factions. It would also be important as a means of reassuring all the neighbors that no other entity, no other foreign entity would try to exploit the situation for their own benefit to the detriment of other neighbors. Again, this would require in the negotiations for both of the military factions to realize that they will not be recognized as the head of state in a new Sudan, and with the realization that there isn't a political end game for them, and by squeezing the financial intermediaries by which they are profiting from the conflict and conveying to them that they won't be able to continue to exploit Sudan's resources, then I think they will feel and recognize just how isolated they are, and this will compel them to negotiate some sort of exit strategy for themselves, where they leave the country.
But how do you explain excluding Sudanese civilian supporters of democracy from all attempts to reach a negotiated solution to the conflict in Sudan?
There are multiple venues, initiatives underway to try and facilitate some sort of negotiation. And you're right that those that are excluding the civilians are really non-starter. In the end, this is a political conflict, and you're going to need a political solution, and civilians are going to be central to that. That's really the only way this is going to be stabilized in any sustainable way. And negotiations that are purely focusing on the military actors are missing that part. Clearly, there had to be incentives for the military actors to stand down. But we need to remember this isn't a civil conflict. This is competition between two rival factions. And the citizens, the Sudanese, are in the way. But they, even if one side were to prevail, they wouldn't be able to command the support of the general population where they could actually lead a government. They wouldn't be recognized internationally. And so it's a big defect for those negotiations that aren't bringing in the civilians.